We'll hear about the golden age of DIY in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. From the studios of the Radio Amateur Information Network, I'm Will Rogers, K5WLR, with the October 27th rain report. Homebrewing is alive and well. In fact, this is the golden age of DIY, according to George Sephiropoulos, KJ6VU, co-host of the Ham Radio Workbench podcast. This is an excerpt from his 2018 Dayton Hamvention Forum talk on the golden age of DIY.
The spirit of this talk is the golden age of do-it-yourself. And the reason I say that it's the golden age of DIY is that never before has there been so many resources available to us as amateurs or kind of like hobbyist, electronic, geeky maker type guys. And the internet, which was projected to be the death of ham radio, in many ways is the fuel for amateur radio in unanticipated ways, not least of which is this phenomenal resource of information and accessibility to hardware from all over the world. If I go to DigiKey and I want to build a synthesizer, it would take me about $12 to $15 worth of parts, and I have to make a circuit board. I could buy one assembled from China, get it in 3 days for about $7. So this turns the whole, you know, thinking of DIY kind of on its head. With the advent of embedded software and microcontrollers being very easily accessible by normal people who are hobbyists, not professional engineers, it's really incredible. So I'm going to touch on a few things, but before that, how many of you have ever listened to our podcast? Well, I should say, how many haven't listened to it? If you haven't listened to it, if this is at all interesting, I would encourage you to listen to it. It's free, so it's ham-priced. You can go to the web. You can get it on Apple Podcasts or any popular podcasting app. We put out a show every 2 weeks. They're 2 hours long. That's the short form. Sometimes they go to 3 hours. It's not because we like to hear ourselves talk. Well, it is that, but it's because there's so much to talk about. When Jeremy and I first started this thing, we said we want to make a technically oriented podcast. We don't want a podcast where someone shows up and says, let me tell you about an Arduino. It's a microcontroller and you could build stuff with it. Oh, thanks. That's fascinating. That's been done. We wanted to go deeper than that. Like, okay, what are the pins on that thing and what are they used for and what does I2C mean and should I care? Is that something that an experienced person would care about or something that a novice would want to care about? So we want to go technically deep and at the same time introduce you to stuff that you may be a complete noob with. The interesting thing about these technical hobbies like this is nobody knows everything. We all know something really well. Maybe we really know metal fabrication. Maybe we really know embedded software. Maybe we really know RF circuit design. Nobody knows everything, and I'm constantly amazed at how much I don't know, but I can turn around to friends and other people I met that I can ask them, and they know. And then they'll learn something from me, and we kind of share. So that's the whole deal. So the podcast is all about that. It's all about learning, and it's all about encouraging people to do hands-on stuff. So to that end, we've come up with some build projects. We're not a kit company. We don't want to be a kit company. Frankly, this is a big pain in my rump. But we want to provide some places to start. If you don't know what you want to build, you could buy one of our circuit boards and you could build a project. It may be as simple as a power pole junction box or maybe as complicated as an antenna relay, but you kind of get your experience starting to build stuff. So we're starting to do more and more of that stuff. We have a lot of great guests. We have a lot of recurring guests. And generally, we just BS about radio. So you can go to hamradioworkbench.com. All of the episodes are there. On the average, they're 2 hours plus, so we have over 100 hours of technical content that hopefully you would enjoy on a variety of topics. There's also a DMR talk group. How many of you are on DMR or are planning to get on DMR? Great. We have a talk group, which means that you can connect your DMR radio to our hub and chit-chat with ourselves and a bunch of other people interested in the same stuff. So it's another way to build community, but with a push-to-talk button. Hamradioworkbench.com. We also have a Facebook page, which is very active. We have about 600 subscribers, And a lot of people get on there, hey, here's my project, want to show it off. Or, hey, I need to design an antenna tuner, what should I do? You know, so there's a lot of give and take. And also we have a Twitter feed, and for quick short messages and things coming up and newsy stuff, we'll put stuff there. The way we build this session was that Jeremy, my partner, and I would talk about a whole bunch of stuff, but obviously that didn't happen because Jeremy's not here. He's over at the booth. So we edited the scope of this presentation down a little bit. So it's just me with no Jeremy. So why do I say this is the golden age of DIY ham radio? The reason at the core, in my opinion, is we are at a confluence of factors here. We have all kinds of ham radio technology that's advancing. We have the whole microcontroller embedded processor, Raspberry Pi, BeagleBone, Arduino action going on in the amateur DIY makerspace. So we should leverage that. There's tons of fancy integrated circuits that do wonderful things. Who has not heard of an SI5351? You can't not hear about it, right? That's one honest person in the back. You can buy sensors. I can go buy, for $3, I can buy a digital temperature sensor that I don't need to calibrate, and I can measure the temperature of my PA and decide if I should turn a fan on, which is a simple, useful project. 3D printing is really growing leaps and bounds, and a lot of people who build projects will 3D print a case for it, or a bracket, or some other accessory. Software-defined radio. Software development. It's never been easier to write code. For those of you freaked out about writing code, it's really not that bad. And we have this internet thing that we can take advantage of in many different ways. The other thing that I find fascinating is there's a lot of cheap, good test equipment. When I say cheap, good test equipment, I mean a boxed test instrument that would have been $2,000 10 years ago is $400 now, with the same quality and probably better specs. You can get, I'll talk about another thing that's one of my favorites in a minute. It's a USB-connected multifunction piece of test gear. Inexpensive. There's lots of cheap tools and parts to be had, especially if you don't mind shopping on eBay. eBay is your friend. There's tons of stuff there. If you venture over into AliExpress, which is kind of the Chinese version, there's even more cheap stuff. There's a website called Banggood, which I thought would have been filtered out by my router, but turns out Banggood's got all kinds of great deals on electronics. You could check it out. There's tons of kits at the FDIM. Hans showed off his QCX transceiver. It's a little miracle. $49, 5-watt, single-band transceiver that also has a whisper beacon built into it, just because. He has them for sale. If you don't have one, you should get one. It's a great project.
You're listening to an excerpt from the 2018 Hamvention Forum talk by George Safaropoulos, KJ6VU, co-host of the Ham Radio Workbench podcast. We'll conclude George's talk after station ID. I'm Will Rogers, K5WLR, and you're listening to The Rain Report.
You're listening to The Rain Report from www.therainreport.com.
There's a growing interest in DIY. So what kills me is you'll hear some old fart hams talking on the radio. No one builds anything anymore. They're just hanging with the wrong crowd. They just haven't paid attention. Because I think DIY ham radio is better now than any time that I've seen. Because of all of this enablement, all of this low-cost everything, and readily available and fabulous resources. And there's really fantastic small radio gear. So an AirSpy SDR for $50 to $100 is a phenomenal receiver and piece of test equipment, by the way. If you're doing filters, you get an SDR dongle for $20 to $100 and some diodes to make a noise source, and you can sweep a filter and look at the waveform on your, you know, very cheap spectrum analyzer made with an SDR. It's not a piece of, you know, HP Agilent Keysight test equipment, but it's good enough to know where's the frequency range of the filter. So let's talk a little bit about your bench. And a lot of you said you're building a bench. And what is a bench? When I was a little kid, maybe the reason I do this is my dad, you know, we would move from house to house, and every house we went into, the first thing that he did was build a workbench. So a workbench, to me, is a special place. A workbench is where you escape to your little happy place to go do things and create and beat up on electronics and torture parts and get creative and maybe build something useful. But it doesn't have to be a big fancy workbench. It could be your kitchen table. Right, there's nothing wrong with a kitchen table, and you know, maybe a tackle box to put your stuff into it. You don't need a whole lot. A lot of us collect tools. We have more than we need, but all you really need is some hand tools, needle nose pliers, wire cutters, an X-Acto knife, some screwdrivers, a good soldering station. Don't scrimp on that. So for a couple $100, you can get kind of outfitted with 90% of what you really need to get off the dime and be able to do something. Power drill, super helpful for obvious reasons. Again, you don't need to spend a whole lot of money. My favorite power drill is a Ryobi because they're kind of disposable. If you loan it to your neighbor and it doesn't come back, you're not going to jump off the building. And they're good enough. So for less than $100, you can get a decent drill. And you need some power supplies. If you do radios like HF radios or mobile VHF radios, you need a 20, 30 amp DC power supply. But you also want a low current power supply for your bench when you're doing small electronics. And so for that, you really want something that's 0 to 20 volts or thereabouts that is current limited. In other words, when you short something out and it draws a bunch of current, you don't want the power supply to comply with the request for more current. You want the power supply to pop the breaker effectively to your circuit so that you can save your electronics, figure out what's wrong, and then reset that current sensor. A few other things you might want to have: a digital multimeter. You can buy a really good, decent digital multimeter for $20, $25. You can go buy a Fluke for $150, but you don't need it, really. You're not making precise measurements. For the most part, most of the time, we're just trying to get an indication of power. Do you really need to know to four decimal points what the voltage is on the power supply? Probably not. You're good enough to a couple decimal points, so a inexpensive DMM is good enough. And you really need an oscilloscope. Almost anything you do, analog or digital, a scope opens your eyes so you can really see what's happening in the circuit. You want to start building up your parts selection. That's discretes like resistors, capacitors, maybe an inductor or two, some diodes. You want to also start to build your vocabulary, your lexicon, if you will, of components that are integrated circuits. If you build radios and you want to build a signal generator, that Silicon Labs 5351 is a chip you should get to know how it works. Or if you want to build something in digital logic or digitally, maybe a microcontroller, etc. And also get familiar with your favorite sources. There's the big commercial guys like DigiKey and Mouser and others. And then there's eBay, which is a fabulous source of inexpensive stuff. When I'm looking for something like a first-rate part, I'll go to one of the big distributors. If I need something more of a commodity, I'll just go to eBay because you can get 10 times as much for the same amount of money, and it's perfectly fine. So I would seriously consider that. You would like to have a computer. Tablet is marginal, in my opinion, for any electronics project, but a good computer. Windows tends to be better because there's more programs for engineering on Windows, but you can get by with a Mac. You might want to consider, for audio interfacing to your computer, you can use your computer as an audio signal generator or even an audio spectrum analyzer. I wouldn't plug directly into my PC. I might use a USB fob, so if you fry it, you're going to fry the $20 fob, not the $1,000 computer. Little tip, that never happened to me. And you should also consider, what skills do you want to build? I tend to accumulate stuff and don't learn to use it as well as I should, because it's easy to buy stuff and it's hard to learn to use it. So if there's any one thing that I would recommend to myself to do differently, it's to spend more time to really learn how to use the things I already have. And there's some phenomenal videos on YouTube. There's videos on how to use a spectrum analyzer, how to use an oscilloscope, how to do RF design. I mean, there's so many videos. Take advantage of all that.
And that concludes our excerpt from a 2018 Dayton Hamvention Forum presentation by George Safaropoulos, KJ6VU, co-host of the Ham Radio Workbench podcast. The Rain Report is copyright 1990-2018 Rain. All rights are reserved. The Rain Report updates Saturday mornings on therainreport.com and Saturday evenings on WTWW, an international shortwave station out of Lebanon, Tennessee, on 5085 kHz around 9 o'clock. Now for Rain's founder and producer, Hap Holly, KC9RP, I'm Will Rogers, K5WLR, bidding you very 73 from the Radio Amateur Information Network. Keep on hamming!